It's the Great American Breakdown. Don't mess with Texas, or Mississippi for that matter. These states are reopening their economies 100%, masks or no masks. And we are starting to see, everyone, the fracturing of this country between the red states and the blue. It's not going to be a civil war, the kind of which we've seen before, as in actual war, but we're dealing right now with a kind of civil war. Hello, everyone. I'm Trish Regan. This is the Trish Intel Show. And wow, as I said, don't mess with Texas. Okay, so the Texas governor coming out and saying, you know what? To heck with it. We're opening up. We're opening up 100%. So all the restaurants, all the stores can go back to 100% capacity. He's also saying that it's no longer going to be a state requirement to wear a mask. So mask or no mask, you can go back to doing your business in Texas. Same thing now in Tennessee. And you think about a number of other states, right, that have not put in mask mandates. Every place from North and South Dakota, Montana, Iowa have also lifted their mask orders. And what we're starting to see is this fracturing of the country in a very big way. Now, it's always been there, right? Because Florida is red and Texas is red and New York and California are blue. So those political challenges have existed for some time. And now we're really starting to see, I think, the pressure of the current situation really start to emerge in a way that's going to have long-lasting effects on this division that we're seeing in the country. I mean, you've got Joe Biden and his team pushing this $1.9 trillion worth of stimulus. It's going to be a big giveaway, right, to a lot of blue states. New York is there, hat in hand, looking for billions of dollars, right, to redo its MTA system. And Florida and Texas, you know, they're not in quite the same kind of financial disarray that a state like California or another blue state like New York happens to be in. What's most amazing to me, though, is this new study that has just come out from a political science group that shows nearly a third of Americans would actually support breaking our country up, right? So there is this great political divide, and it's gotten so bad that 29% of voters apparently would entertain this idea of splitting the country into smaller regions. One in three Republican respondents supported the idea of their state seceding from the union. It shows you how fed up people are with our federal government trying to tell us how to live our lives. And look, you know, I don't have a problem with the masks. I mean, if it makes people feel safer, the CDC has come out and said, look, it helps prevent the spread of particles. I don't have a problem with that. But I don't love the idea that somehow there's a law that tells me I have to wear one or not. I feel like as a free thinking individual that is going to be out and about and is going to choose where to do her grocery shopping, for example, guess what? I'm going to probably want to be in the store with other people with masks. And that's a decision that the business owner is making and me as an individual consumer, I am making. And so Texas is saying, you know what? We trust you as individuals. You need to do what's right. You've been doing what's right. Let's forget the fact that we need a law for it. Now, you know, Governor Abbott also cites a whole bunch of other things, including the reality that we're getting more and more vaccines to market. And that is a huge, huge plus. I mean, look, that's how we get our economy back, right? By actually reopening the economy and getting all the vaccines distributed. That is the answer. You don't just keep handing out money. And I think if California and New York were to get their way, they'd just keep looking at the federal government saying, give me more, give me more, give me more. Texas and Florida and Mississippi, by the way, are saying, no, we can do this. We just need to open up. Okay, coming up, everyone, we're going to get into Neera Tanden, her appointment done and over, the White House withdrawing her nomination, because you know what? It proves sometimes you can't just be that nasty on social media. I'm glad to see this. I'm on it next. It's nice to see a little accountability in society for a change. Neera Tanden. I mean, this woman was like the political operative of all political operatives. And by that, I mean political hack. She was nominated for the position of the head of the Office of Management and Budget. And that would have been a cabinet position. And well, she couldn't get to first base. You know why? Neither party liked her. I mean, she didn't even have support from her own party. They tried to say, oh, Joe Manchin's being sexist because he's not supporting this woman. No. He's just being like a good human being, because this woman clearly was not. I mean, the attacks that she would level at people, politicians especially, but you know what? Even those right of center journalists like me, she went after me a couple of times on Twitter over the years. And I remember always being like, what? Who? Why? Like, I mean, come on, right? Who just like targets individuals in that way other than, well, Neera Tanden? And it's coming back to bite her big time. And you know what? This is good. This is good, because this woman was really nothing but what you call a Twitter troll. And no one on Capitol Hill wanted to have her in a position that would have been so elevated and so powerful. So you see, Neera Tanden ultimately proving to be too much of a political operative, even for the political operative town of Washington, D.C. Nonetheless, what does this tell us about the Biden administration, right? That they would have appointed a person like this in the first place, given her history, given the venom in her tweets. I mean, I believe she referred to Ted Cruz as some kind of vampire. She went after Senator Snow just really mercilessly. None of this was very attractive on her, Neera Tanden, and clearly did not sit so well with people like Snow or Cruz or even Joe Manchin from her own party. But again, I just go back to, what does this tell us about the Biden team and their judgment? And I know people say, oh, you know, well, Donald Trump did this, blah, blah, blah. But, well, you know what, guys, two wrongs don't make a right. Like, I realize Donald Trump targeted a lot of people on Twitter. By the way, he didn't always like go after them himself, right? That's what Neera was doing. She was deliberately targeting people. He usually waited for them to target him and then he'd go back. Again, I'm not making any excuses here, because to me, you just really shouldn't do that. You just, you know, there should be some decorum left in our society. So this is a win for every American right now, proving that you can't act like a total, utter jerk and wind up being the director of the Office of Management and Budget. Okay, coming up, we're going to talk about Dr. Seuss getting canceled. I told you about this story yesterday. I mean, it's like, you know, the guy who wrote Yertle the Turtle, a story about the dangers of fascism, is getting canceled by the people that, I don't know, kind of feel a little like fascists to me. I'm on it next. So 6 of Dr. Seuss's books are going out of print. Interestingly, people rushed to buy them. You know, they're going for hundreds of dollars because people are now like, oh, I got to get my hands on this. Because it's like book burning, right? I mean, look, I get it. Apparently, he had some caricatures of Asians and of Blacks. I mean, this is from a long time ago, right? Like pre-World War II, that were considered and are considered by today's standard to be quite disturbing, you know, and racially insensitive. But the guy was a phenomenal children's author, right? I mean, like, think of Yertle the Turtle, which was a whole story against the dangers of Nazi Germany and Hitler and the rise of fascism. You think about the Sneetches. I told you about that in yesterday's podcast. Go back and listen if you missed it, because it's all about the stars on their belly and how it basically teaches kids about the dangers of racism, right? And how wrong, thoroughly wrong it is. The Sneetches are just Sneetches, stars or not. And well, you know, the woke culture now is saying, well, it wasn't complex enough. I'm sorry, guys. I mean, it's for 5-year-olds, right? Like, how complex do you really want to make it? Anyway, he's got these books from an earlier time, and it's because of the way he depicted Asians and African-Americans that now all these groups are coming out and saying, well, we can't endorse Dr. Seuss anymore. So Read Across America, which is a big day that would celebrate Dr. Seuss in schools, in American schools, has now said, well, we need to get away from Dr. Seuss. And as I said, the 6 books are no longer going to be in print. You've got a county in Virginia, a district that's writing, quote, as we become more culturally and racially conscious, all building leaders should know that in recent years, there has been research revealing racial undertones written and in the illustrations drawn by Dr. Seuss. So it's kind of disappointing, right? Because there's no appreciation for context or time and history. There's no appreciation for what was actually going on when Dr. Seuss illustrated those early books. You know, again, I would just say that Yertle the Turtle is a pretty good tale against fascism. The Lorax, right? That's a whole tale about the importance of caring for your environment. If you ask me, Dr. Seuss actually stood for a lot of the causes the left tells us that they so appreciate and embody. The Sneetches, right, it is a story that it tells us not to treat people differently just because of how they look. These are important things for kids to hear. But now, you know, you're not going to be able to read Dr. Seuss anymore. Certainly those six books, they're going to be completely out of print. But even now, these others are tainted because you've got so many people out there saying, you know, we can't be associated with this. The Butter Battle book. Did you ever read that? That's a parable against the arms race. So think about the irony of all of this. I mean, the real question may be, are those that are in favor of burning Dr. Seuss books, including those that criticize fascism, maybe those are actually the real fascists themselves? I don't know about you, but I think I need to reread Yertle the Turtle again. Okay, stay with me, everyone. Make sure you go to trishintel.com. Make sure you sign up for my emails. Make sure you download this podcast. Make sure you tell your friends, and I'll be right back here with you tomorrow.